We're super glad you're here. You guys glad to be here? 2018 is here. Yeah, let's fire it up. All right. Yes, I am glad that it's a new year and it's kind of a fresh start. That's how I feel. So here's the deal. Last month, I was faced with a dilemma, you know, and after years of not really putting up Christmas lights, and we got one of those light blankets that we like threw over a shrub so that we did that. You know what I'm talking about? That's cheating. But I mean, putting them up on the gutters done that for a number of years and just didn't for the last few years because there was always something that went wrong. You know, bulbs would break, or we had the old kind, you know, they're really bright and beautiful, but also they required a lot of power and a lot of extension cords and a lot of blown fuses. And that's anyway, it just ended up being this whole kind of deal. And half the time, I'd forget to just like plug the lights in at night anyway, you know what I mean? So go through all the work, they're up, and then I just like, okay, you can't now. The neighbors are missing out on the glory of the Don Brow house or whatever. So the last few years, I just hadn't done it. This year, I was going through Walmart, and I saw these new Christmas lights, LEDs, you know, the lower power, which my experience with older LEDs has not been good. They were just like dim and lame, and no offense if you use those. But anyway, but these said, oh, twice as bright, and they have the warm color and all this. So I said, okay, what the heck? You know, let's just try this. So I got a bunch of those lights, and my son and I connected them to the gutters, both the lower and the upper, the more dangerous gutters. And it was my son. So I was like, hey, dude, you go up the top. And so then, we plugged it in, and I mean, after a long time working really hard, the glory is right there. Isn't that amazing? I mean, just the light of the world has come and descended upon our house. There's my son, by the way, Nathan. He's running outside. I'm like, Nathan, take a look. This is beautiful. You know, look what you did. He's like, it's kind of lame, Dad. But anyway, but here's what we did this year. What we decided to do is like we got the LEDs right, so we only need one extension cord, and also used my son, you know, so that was good, and that's why we have a son, is to do stuff like that. And then also we got one of those machines where you plug in the lights and then they automatically, you guys, turn on and off. So I just, it's you plug it in, you don't worry about it for like a month. You just like forget about it. And so it was just like this really great deal. And at the end of it, right, at the end of it, it occurred to me, I had this thought, why didn't I do this years ago? You ever had something like that in your life where you finally did it right, or you finally, you know, got it fixed or whatever, and you're just like, why didn't I clean this or fix this or make this, set it up right like years ago? What took me so long? You guys, my desire for you, my prayer for you for 2018, that you would have an encounter with God, you would see genuine life change, and there would be this thought, man, why didn't I start this years ago, you know? And so that's kind of where we're headed as we jump into this new series called Everything New. And the truth is, you guys, whether you're a Christian or not, I know that you all want to change something in your life, right? And this is what we do in the new year. It's like none of us like has this goal of, you know what, I just want to remain stagnant, you know, like a pond with bugs flying around. You know, we all want to see growth and progress in relationships and marriage and in career and whatever, in life and joy and all these kinds of things, right? We want to improve. We want to grow. We want to learn some things, right? And so that's something we all have in common. And so we make resolutions and set goals and create a plan, and I don't know what just happened there, but we buy workout gear and Fitbits, and I don't know if you've noticed, maybe you haven't yet, but oh man, I need to stretch here. This Christmas, I got an Apple Watch. Raise your hand if you are blessed with an Apple Watch, any of you? Praise Jesus. All right, so Apple Watch is really cool, and by the way, I know some of you are thinking like, aren't those expensive? And he's a pastor. Number one, my wife works, all right? And then, so back, step off. Number two, Number two, and I'm not exaggerating, I've been saving up gift cards to Bridgeport and the Apple Store for like 3 years. I kid you not. I've been saving these things up. And so finally I was like, sweetie, here are the gift cards. Can you just get me this thing, you know? And she said, why don't you just get it? So I just went and got it. I was like, hey, can you wrap it up at the very least? She said, okay, I'll do that. So anyway, I was like, oh, wow, cool, Apple Watch. And it was really great. And the Apple Watch is amazing because, you know, my justification for it is like, you know, this is going to help me get in shape, you know, and I'm not getting any younger. Because on here, there's an app. It's this activity app. And it measures all kinds of things like your movement and your exercise. I don't know the difference, but, you know, how many steps you take and how many miles. Like, I'm wearing it now because I want to, you know, when I preach, I might like, you know, I might be moving here. And like flights of stairs, you know, you climb some stairs, you know, you go up and down and up and down. Oh, look at that. And measuring all that stuff right there. And so I'm getting in shape, you guys, this year. There's the other part of this is like, it's like standing time. It's amazing. It measures like, and it reminds you, hey, stand up. You know, because it used to be like, you know, whatever. It used to be, don't drink alcohol. That'll kill you. And then it was like, don't smoke. That'll kill you. Then it was, don't eat red meat. Kill you. Don't eat butter. You know, go get the margarine, the fake stuff. That'll, you know, all that kill you. And don't like, and then it became, don't eat bread. That'll kill you. And then now we're down to like, don't sit, you know, right? We're down, drink all you want. Smoke whatever, but don't sit. Because sitting is going to kill you. And so the little watch has a reminder, hey, stand. You don't want to die, do you? You know, and, you know, and here, so it measures all this stuff. And I'm excited about it. And I've had better days and not so good days or whatever. But you guys, all of us want to change, right? All of us want to change. But I have a suspicion that many of us are a little skeptical of changing, right? We're a little like, I'm not sure. Because last time I tried that before, it didn't work. Or it didn't last, or it didn't produce what I had hoped it would, or whatever. But here's what I want to start this series by saying this. You guys, life change, and I mean significant life change, and I need this reminder. This has been a convicting message for me. But life change ought to be anticipated and expected for everybody who trust in Jesus and walks with Jesus. Like next year, it should be a new you. Should be a new Joel. And we shouldn't be the same. And we need to get over all the skepticism and all the cynicism that kind of like clouds out. You guys, God wants to do something significant in your life. He wants to make you new. In fact, you could summarize the whole message of the Bible by saying God's plan is about redeeming, restoring, renewing all of creation. Because when God created all of creation, it was good. And then you know what the Bible says? Sin entered the world. There's brokenness, corruption. It went from good to groaning is the word. All of creation, right? There's storms and disease and there's sickness and death, all kinds of terrible stuff, right? Went from good to groaning. But you guys, our God is not going to leave it that way. He is at work rescuing, recreating, returning everything to its former glory and goodness. Renewal. Let me ask you a question. What's the one thing that you hope changes in the world in 2018? If you could just think of one thing, it's just rhetorical, you don't need to, you know, but what's the one thing? Can you think of something? Maybe it's just like, you know, not get nuked by North Korea or so, you know, I don't know if that's a change, but anyway, like, what's one thing? You see, all of us are looking at the world and we all want stuff to change or people to change, or I wish they would change. And maybe that does need to change. I'm not saying that. But here's probably a better question for us. What's the one thing in 2018 that you hope changes in you, in your life? Really? Because if you're a follower of Jesus, I'm telling you, let's not become cynical. Let's not become skeptical. Let's believe that God wants to do something new and fresh in our lives. So let's just look at a couple verses here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. We're going to jump in, and I'm going to talk a little quicker now. So here we go. Woo, we'll see how this goes. Did anybody notice the parking was kind of a mess? Yeah, my fault. All right, so here we go. Verse 15, we don't want that to happen again. It says, "And Jesus, and he died for all, so that those who live," like this, whoever, those who receive the new life that Christ offers, right? "Those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and was raised," died for them and was raised. Verse 16, "So then from now on, we acknowledge," we don't see, we don't evaluate, judge people, we don't acknowledge no one from an outward, human, worldly, fleshly point of view. You know, always like, you know, I can imagine the Apostle Paul critiquing like, hey, are they keeping all the rules and the religious rituals and all those things? But we shouldn't, we're not gonna keep evaluating people in the same way, even though we have known Christ from a human point of view. And if you remember, they expected Christ to get rid of Rome and be their deliverer and conquer Rome and all these kinds of things. We saw Christ one way, but he's like, but now we do not know him in that way any longer. We have a new picture, a right, accurate, true picture. And then we get to maybe a verse some of you have heard before, maybe many times, but it's our central verse for today's message. 2 Corinthians 5:17, the next verse. "So then," here's the deal, "if anyone's in Christ, he or she is a new creation. What is old has passed away. Look, what is new has come." Let's read that together on the count of three. Ready? One, two, three. "So then, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. What is old has passed away. Look, what is new has come." You see, people hear, that's the good news, and they read passages like that, and they say things like, look, I love having a relationship with Jesus, but let's get practical. I live in the real world. I mean, don't get me wrong, Joel, again, I love having a relationship with Jesus, but here in the real world, I've got needs, I've got issues, I've got things that need to be solved. So if God would just take care of this and them and that circumstance and that issue, then my life would be great. Yeah, I've got Jesus. I'm in Christ. I'm a new creation, yada, yada, yada. But in the real world, what we need is I need a new job and an upgrade on my spouse and maybe kids to behave and a whatever, right? I don't know why I said that. But anyway, so like this is what, and if that and my health and whatever, and if that, then... This is maybe a ridiculous illustration, but you'll get the point. So Jeff Bezos is the founder and CEO of a little company known as Amazon.com, right? And Amazon's done quite well, actually. If you hadn't noticed, it's the world's largest online shopping retailer. And on July 27th of 2017, something amazing happened to Jeff. He became the world's richest person. He passed Bill Gates, see you, Bill, you know, and he was in July worth now $90 billion. Now, apparently some people did some shopping over the holidays, and that didn't hurt his net worth because now he is worth roughly $100 billion. So that's a good 5 or 6 months, right? Would we agree? Yeah, $10 billion in 5 or 6 months, would you? Yeah, okay, good for Jeff. All right, so there we go. So imagine you would say, you know what? If I could have everything that Jeff Bezos has materially, if I could have everything that Jeff Bezos has materially, $100 billion, right? Boats, jets, what, islands, you know, I don't know what you do with that kind of money. If I could have all of that, and this music stand, man, then my life would be great. And it's an extreme example, but it's actually an accurate one. Because what happens is we say, man, if I could just have a relationship with the living God, and then if God could take care of these issues in my life, you know, I'm not going to get too excited until those things happen. Then I'll be satisfied. Then I'll be content. Then I'll have peace. Then I'll have joy. You guys, here's the truth. We've settled for far too little. We've underestimated what we have and what it means to be in Christ and therefore be a new creation. So we're just going to think a little bit about it. We're not going to be able to go as deep as this topic deserves, because that little, those two words, in Christ, I'm just doing that, in Christ, those two words, volumes of books have been written about those two words and what that means. But I want to give you a sense of what it means, and therefore what we already have in Jesus, because so many people, to satisfy them, it's like, okay, I need Jesus plus fill in the blank, and that equals life or whatever it is, right? And that is actually a false religion. That is a false religion. It's not to say that God doesn't care about the plus. It's not to minimize either anybody's pain, sickness, sorrow. It's not to minimize anybody's reason for celebration in some other area of your life, right? But we should never say as Christians, like, hey, Jesus, you know, that's nice. That's a little side benefit. Plus this now. Because if you notice that we often tend to focus on the other little piece, I want to tell you something that might come as a surprise. If God fixed, renewed all of those nagging circumstances in your life, but he didn't renew you, you'd still be a mess. Yep. Because I've been to Beverly Hills. And not everybody there is skipping and like just smiling and loving life. They have maybe a somewhat different set of anxiety or whatever. Do they have fears? Do they have anxieties? Do they have whatever, broken relationships? I know people in Beverly Hills. You get my point, right? We keep thinking, if I just had health and wealth and a good tan and white teeth, then I'll have it, right? God says, look, I'm doing something new in you. I want to give you a whole new identity. You guys, everybody's looking for identity right now. And here's my identity. You guys, you know my identity. I don't know if you've noticed. I am Anglo. And in the summer, I get slightly more tan and burnt, but that's it. And I am Anglo, you guys, but I'm not most deeply Anglo. I'm a dad. I'm not most deeply. That's not most deeply my identity. Yes, I'm a pastor. It's not most deeply. I'm a husband. Yes, not most deeply. You get the message. I am most deeply a child of God. I'm most deeply a son of God, which means that I have far more in terms of who I most deeply am more in common with another believer in North Korea, where I speak a different language and different culture, different customs, different whole kit and caboodle, right? Just totally different than the person I grew up with. I grew, up next to me that doesn't want to have anything to do with Jesus. This is what, and I just want us to understand, those of you who are Christians, this is what you believe. You have a new identity. First Peter 2 says, verse 10, once you had no identity as a people, and now you are God's people. And so this new identity as being God's people transcends all of your other identity markers. It doesn't mean race and culture and all those things don't matter, okay? I'm not saying just throw them out. They don't matter. But I'm saying that's not, your identity in Christ transcends all those things. This is what we believe. So here's the thing. To be in Christ is a couple things. Number one, it's more than just a new name tag. See, to be a new creation means two things. It means, one, you are in Christ. You are in Christ. And what that means is that you know Christ, you've been forgiven by Christ, you've been cleansed in Christ, you've been adopted by God through Christ, you've been saved through Christ, you belong to Christ, you've been united with Christ, you have communion with Christ. This sense of you're in Christ, right? You have eternal life. Yet there's no more condemnation for those of you who are in Christ Jesus, Romans 8:1, all right? So these are all, this is what you have in Christ. Now, here's the illustration. If we were to all go to the top of this building here on the roof, which there is a way to get up there, but we were all to go up there, and we said, you guys, let's find out what percentage of us can fly, right? And this is kind of a gross illustration. But anyway, so And I would be like, all right, you first. You know, and I don't know, there's pillows on the ground or whatever, all right? So you go for it, and somebody jumps out, you know, and they fall into the pillows or whatever, you know, the air inflatable, whatever it is. And the next person, okay, well, I've been learning a lot about flying, you know, and so they jump out, like, you know, or I've really been studying, or I really want to fly. This is really what I want to do. Okay, really, you want to fly? And I just saw a superhero movie, and okay, let's just do this thing, and you need to jump off, right? And everybody falls, right? Why? Because all of us don't have the capacity, the intrinsic ability to fly. It doesn't matter how many, you know, Marvel superhero movies it's never up, up, and away. It's down, down, thud. I mean, that's just kind of how it is. Every single one of us, right? And so, however, if you take your non-flying self, your aerodynamically challenged self, and you put yourself in an airplane, like the B-2 Spirit Stealth Bomber, now all of a sudden you can fly close to Mach 1, you can fly 7,000 some odd miles, you can fly at 50,000 feet, and by the way, every one of those is $2 billion. But anyway, so I know, that's disgusting, but anyway, so there you go, right? You get the illustration. You don't have the capacity, I don't have the capacity, but now in Christ, there are new capacities, new abilities, outside and inside. We're limited outside. We have, some of those limitations have disappeared inside Christ. So we are in Christ. Secondly, to be a new creation means also Christ is in us. That's such a cool picture. Christ is in you, right? So Galatians 2:20, you maybe have heard this before. I've been crucified with Christ. We're identifying with Christ's death. And I no longer live, like my old self is gone, right? Christ, specifically the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, lives in me. And now I live differently and by faith, and it goes on. And there's a million scriptures like that. So here's what the sense of that means. Christ in me means now the presence of God is in me, so that this presence is working in me, is perfecting me, is equipping me, is empowering me, is gifting me, is producing something beautiful, spiritual fruit that lasts, eternal significance, is doing something eternally significant through me. Is the Spirit of God allowing me to walk with Jesus even when life is hard, that I don't abandon him? Did you know that? The persevering power, the enduring power of God in me. And this is why those who walk away from Jesus for, you know, especially a prolonged period of time, that should be a warning to them. Do you have, is Christ in you? Are you with me on this? Okay. See, we need to believe this, you guys, that Christ in me means that he can fulfill his promises to resurrect me spiritually, to renew me, to restore me. Remember, creation. He wants to take it from groaning back to good. And he wants to restore me as well. And this is this wonderful, extravagant, should be this revolutionary, life-altering concept. Because if you haven't noticed, I haven't gotten to this part of the message, and I'm not going to get to it because it's not true. The part of the message that says, that's nice to think about, but it's not really going to happen. That's fanciful. That's interesting. But the truth is, Joel, and I know how this works. I've been going to church for years. You know what? Old Jim over there, he's always been old cranky Jim. Going to church, whatever, complaining about something, and we love him. I mean, his old, you know, the part of Jim that just drives everybody crazy. You know, and that's his personality. That's his attitude. That's just old Jim. And I apologize if your name's Jim, all right? But you guys, we live in that place. Well, you know what? I've got this habit, this addiction, this thing, this whatever, and it's just kind of me. You know, I'm Italian, so I lose my anger. So I, you know, like that's just kind of, or whatever. You know, we have all these, you guys, we're not going to get to the part of the message because it's not in the message that says, yeah, but you've got some excuses to not live the life that God has called you to live. You are a new creation. You are in Christ and Christ is in you. And we need to lean into that reality, you guys. This is complete change, right? And so this idea, if you want, write this down. I am not who I was. I am not who I was. The butterfly is not a caterpillar anymore. I am no longer who I was. Now, how do you know? You ever wonder this? How do you know if you're a new creation? Number one, I'll just give you three thoughts really quickly. Okay, we'll go fast. Number one, I will earnestly delight in God. You guys, people who belong to God actually love God. They delight in him. He's not boring. Yes, sometimes we can read Leviticus and fall asleep. We get it. But you know what? What dad doesn't or mom doesn't want their kids to fall asleep in their arms. You know, that's not a bad thing, right? But we understand. But you understand what I'm saying? It's like we actually do love God. We really do. We delight in him. Psalm 16:11, I love this verse. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy. Where does that come from? In your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Isn't that a beautiful verse? Let's lean into that. Let's think about, because the history of the Christian church is marred by groups of ridiculous people who've ripped the love, who've ripped the heart out of our faith. God says the greatest commandment is to what? Love him with everything we have. The great Shema for every Jewish person, they knew it by heart. They repeated it every single day. Deuteronomy 6, you know, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, right? This is not just some sort of dry, formal, intellectual ascent. Yes, we love God with all of our mind. It's more than, it's not dry at all. The presence of Christ we delight in. Secondly, I will progressively reject, we're wording it this way, the residue of my old life. Amen. I will progressively, because have you noticed, you guys, the longer you're walking with Jesus and the closer you become to Jesus, it's like the light just exposes the dirt, you know, and corners that you once were like, not a big deal, but now you're like, you know what? I need God to work on my life in my motives or my attitude or whatever it is in that area. It's not enough just to be, I'm a Christian. How do you know? Because I don't cuss. I don't swear, you know, or whatever, right? This is like many. So this is what happens. So it's progressively rejecting that residue. You've cleaned a bathtub before, right? That scum, that whatever, you know? That gross, I cleaned, our washer was broken. And so I'm like, you know what? I'm pretty handy. Okay, I'm not handy at all. But I just didn't want to pay. I'm cheap. And so I opened it up, took all the screws off, and looked around in there. I'm like, yeah, there's some stuff in there, you know. And then realized, then I did the YouTube videos and realized, oh, I took off the wrong panel. So then I put that all back on. Then I went to the front of the washer or the easier spot. And then I took that off and then I realized. So there was this trap where like coins and stuff will go so that, you know, the water, because our water had overflowed. And so I take out this trap filter deal. It was so nasty, you guys. I can't even tell you. I actually took a picture of it. Do you want to see it? I'm not going to show you because it's PG-13, but I mean, it was gross. You guys, the old has passed away. We need to see that residue of our old life. as the sin that nailed our Savior to a cross. Like, we struggle. We wage war against it. That's a reality. But do we love it? We ought not love it. This is one of the ways you know if you're a new creation. Christ in you, you in Christ, the old has passed away, right? The old life is gone. We're dead to sin. We're moving on. Famous actor, comedian Jim Carrey said this: "I think everyone should get rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed of so that they can see it's not the answer." And some of us are pursuing, you guys, ambitions and goals and objectives that were a part of our lives before we knew Jesus, before we were walking with Jesus. You're a new person. And so that leads into this last thought here, is that how else do you know that you belong to Jesus? Your new creation is thirdly, is I will willingly live for Christ. And it's like the old life is gone, but then what? The new life has come. And do you remember what we read in 2 Corinthians 5:15? It says, "And he died for all, so that those who live should no longer live for themselves." Are you living for yourself? Your own security, your own pleasure, your own comfort. I mean, when, as you inspect your life, how would you answer, who are you living for? When you get up out of bed, you guys, as Christians, it says, we don't live for ourselves anymore. This is why throughout history, when like the Black Plague swept across much in the known world in Europe and tens of millions of people died, Christians went in to these infested homes. Many of them died. Why? Because they no longer live for themselves. This is why have you noticed like most hospitals have like some sort of saint or church or something name with it? There's a reason for that. I don't want to get into it, but sometimes we just focus on the one doofus who said something ridiculous about AIDS, you know, in the late 80s, and we're like, yeah, Christians, that's what they think. You guys, Christians have been holding the dying across this world for centuries. Why? Because they no longer live for themselves. You guys, 2018 is a year you live for him. You live for the God who rescued you. You live for him because he's in you, and you will not be satisfied. You will find no joy in any other pursuit. Live for Jesus. We've heard that message before, haven't we? What if this year's different? What if this year is like the year where, you know, I actually use the contraption to plug my lights in so they come on automatically and turn off automatically, and at the end of it, I'm like, man, why didn't I do that before? What if this is the year we have that moment of, why didn't I do that before? As we wrap up here, I want to just read three verses, quick illustration, and then we're done with the message, okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13, and it says this: "We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away." In other words, like the glory of God. Moses met with God. There's more to this, but understand where we're going. Let's go to skip to verse 16 here. "But whenever anyone," key phrase here, "turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away." Last verse, verse 18. "And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image." That's the change. "With ever-increasing glory which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." Now, how does that life change happen? this past Tuesday, January 2nd, was a super moon. I love that name. And a super moon is when there's a full moon and the moon is at or near its close, because it's circled. It's not a circle, it's an ellipse around the earth, right? And so the moon is now this closest spot, and it's a full moon, so it literally is closer, and it appears 14% larger and 30% brighter to us. And we call it super moon, you know? It's really cool. The moon, if you think about it, though, without the sun, is just a rock up in the sky. It's actually not like a planet. It doesn't have a warm core. It's just a rock. And on the outside is, they call it some like dark volcanic ash rock substance. That's just what it is. And yet, if it's in a particular place, meaning specifically, if it's turned toward the sun, it reflects the sun's glory. It reflects the sun's glory. Without that, it has no kind of intrinsic ability to shine. It's lifeless. It's darkness. It requires the sun. The moon can't try harder to be brighter. The moon can't self-manufacture radiance and glory. The moon's brightness is literally dependent on its position with the sun. And our brightness is literally dependent upon our position turning to the Son of God. You want to live for Jesus in 2018? I guess my one encouragement to you would be, turn to Jesus every day. Delight in Jesus. Look at the residue of your old life and hate it. Let it make you nauseous like my washing machine trap. Let it make you sick. And live a new life in Christ, with Christ, for Jesus Christ. Because you are not the same anymore. Have you ever confused a butterfly with a caterpillar? Which is which? It's hard to tell. I mean, one's a wormy creature, and one is an extravagantly beautiful butterfly floating about. Why is there some great mystery about? I wonder if they're a Christian or not. I don't know. I've known them for a while now, and I'm not sure. I think they mentioned something about going to church at one point, or, you know. May there be no mystery about who you belong to and the new life of Christ in you. Amen? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love and your grace, God. We so appreciate and we receive your grace. Your mercies that are new every morning, and I love just Chris's message from last week, grace upon grace. God, we need that. In addition to that, empower us by your Spirit to live the life you've called us to. In Christ Jesus, our Savior. May this church be filled with people who at the end of 2018, if you would allow us to live that long, that we would be more radiant, looking more like Jesus, that our old life would be ever increasingly just done away with and in the past. And we live for someone new today. Because we're a new creation, God. Let that truth rest on us today and this week and the coming days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.